Thank you all for sticking around. It's Mile High Magazine here on Sunday morning. I am Murphy Houston. Not sure if you all know this, but you should. March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. And joining us is Chris Liu, Associate Professor, Co-Director, GI Medical Oncology Associate Director for Clinical Research at CU Cancer Centers. Chris, welcome to Mile High Magazine. You got quite a title there.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for talking about this very important topic.
Well, listen, I've been through it, and we'll talk more about who's been through it, including Kendra Mitchell. Kendra, I know you've had a tough go of it. We're going to welcome you to Mile High Magazine and talk about that in a bit, if that's okay with you.
Yes, thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us today. But Chris, let's start with you and talk about what is colorectal cancer, signs we need to know, facts we need to know, because I know you're on top of your game.
Well, thanks again for having me and talking about this incredibly important topic. Colorectal cancer is a malignancy that develops in the colon or the rectum. And we know that this is a major problem in both the United States and the world. We also want people to know that there are screening options for colorectal cancer, which began at the age of 45. And this has actually changed over the last couple of years because the screening age used to be 50. We've actually reduced it now to 45. And the reason why is because colorectal cancer is going to be the number one cause of cancer-related death in people aged 20 to 49 by 2030. Colorectal cancer will be the number one cause of cancer-related death in people aged 20 to 49 by 2030.
That just spins my head, Chris. That's incredible. I mean, I'm older than that, and I think I started my testing, what, at 50 maybe, 55?
That's right. And, you know, what we've seen is these decreases in our older population, which is really just the power of screening, right, which is really, really great. But, of course, at the same time, we've seen this incredible rise in early onset colorectal cancer happening in young adults. We see this both in males and females, and this has really been happening over the last 2 to 3 decades. And so the key here is knowledge about screening, but also awareness. You have brought up, you know, what are some of the things that we should be looking for? There are four main symptoms that I really want people to kind of be aware of, and that is if you see any blood in the stool, that is a cause for concern. It's just something that, again, oftentimes is not cancer, but should be discussed with your primary care provider. Right. We also want people to know that if you're having unexplained abdominal pain, if you have unexplained fatigue or weight loss, and if you have unexplained iron deficiency anemia, those are really the key symptoms for colorectal cancer. And again, many, many people who are 20, 30 years old don't need to be screened regularly for colorectal cancer. But at the same time, if they're just, number one, have a great relationship with their primary care provider, and number two, are aware of some of these signs and symptoms and seek medical care, it's a diagnosis that you can get earlier. And when we catch cancer earlier, the survival rates and the cure rates are much, much higher.
With any cancer, right, Doc? Early detection is so important and doing something about it.
Exactly. And part of that, honestly, is also just knowing your family history. We have all been touched by cancer, and colorectal cancer is the same. And really knowing a family history of knowing, hey, I had a first-degree relative or even a second-degree relative that had been diagnosed with colorectal cancer, that's incredibly important because some people honestly need to be screened earlier because of that.
Right. And why so much younger now? What's going on with that? Is that stuff we're eating or what's happening?
So there's an incredible amount of research going on. I mean, really, we've noticed this trend over the last, you know, 20 or so years. But again, trying to find out why this is happening is certainly a gigantic area of research. And so there's a lot of funding that's going into this to determine why. You know, we believe it's a combination of things. We know that genetics and family history does play a role into this. But a majority of these cases or patients that are developing colorectal cancer are sporadic. And what we mean by that is that there's no family history or genetic predisposition. And so with that, we need to go back and look at environmental factors, what a patient's been exposed to, but also what their diet is. And these all kind of lead to what's in what we call the gut microbiome. What is that?
Yeah, what is that?
That's the collection of bacteria, viruses, even parasites that live healthily in our body and help us digest food. And this is a really good relationship. But if that microbiome becomes altered in a way, it can actually increase inflammation. And when you increase inflammation, you're just leading to, you know, other diseases and actually an impact on your immune system, but can also lead to mutations, which eventually could lead to cancer as well. This is where a lot of the research is going. But again, you know, the answer right now is we really don't know.
Wow, that's just crazy to have to live with that. And Christopher, I know you have a friendship with Kendra Mitchell, who is a colorectal cancer survivor now on Mile High Magazine. And Kendra, thank you for coming on to talk about your story, because I think people need to, it's good to talk to a doc or somebody like Chris who really knows what's going on, but you really know what's going on. And welcome, as I said, so maybe you can share your story a little bit.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. And I'll tell you that Dr. Liu is very special. He has done a lot, saved a lot of lives of friends that I know and have become a part of the community. So we're just very grateful to all the people doing all this research so that we can live long and happy lives. Myself, I had just gotten married at 32, 33 actually, and then I started having symptoms, but you know, as a young woman, I was traveling for work. I just got married. I was not wanting to tell my husband about any symptoms I was having. And I also wasn't aware of my family history. So when I finally kind of had a really rough day and told my husband, and he insisted I go to the doctor the very next day. And my primary care doctor, you know, thankfully for me, he knew exactly what to do with me. He called my insurance. He got me a colonoscopy. He sent me for a couple tests the next day. And within 2 days, I was diagnosed with stage one colon cancer. So I was very, very lucky to have caught it early. And so now that's one of my big missions, is helping young people understand why it's important to know their family history, even if they don't have illness or symptoms of any kind. And also just in understanding how and when to recognize things. You know, I waited 9 months and maybe I could have, you know, avoided having cancer if I had gone earlier. So,
once you were detected, what's the next steps? I mean, surgery, I would imagine. Isn't that right away?
Yes. In my particular case, I had a couple surgeries. I had part of my colon removed. But all in all, I did not have to do chemotherapy or radiation. And it's just a testament that, you know, when caught early, it can be treatable and beatable. And here I am. This fall will be my 10 years.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yes, very exciting. And I mean, there are still some things. I personally deal with iron deficient anemia now since my colon cancer diagnosis. So, you know, it will stay with me the rest of my life, but I can say so happily that I pretty much kind of went back to normal life and have been living well for the last 10 years.
And you sound good. You sound happy. I'm sure your health is good. How often do you have to be checked now, Kendra? Once a year, twice a year? How often?
I think it varies, you know, in your personal instance. Being a part of this community, I have a lot of friends, and it's all over the place depending on their case. So I think it's really important that, like Dr. Liu said, you really are in touch with your doctor and you understand your treatment plan. For me, I was getting tested every 6 months for the last like 6 years, but just here recently, last year, I had a colonoscopy and they told me I could wait 3 years. So that was a big thing for me.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Yes. I mean, I've had many colonoscopies.
Oh, yeah. I've not had near what you have, and it's quite an adventure.
Yes. To say the least. I always tell people that the prep is the worst part, and everything else is easy, and you feel great afterwards, and it goes quick.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Well, Kendra, congratulations on that. I'm real happy for you. It's been a tough road.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for sharing your story on Mile High Magazine. Lou, you must hear, Mr. Lou here, Christopher Lou, you must hear a lot of that kind of stuff, huh?
Yeah, you know, I think Kendra's story is so powerful, and it really just speaks to a couple of things. You know, we don't want anybody ever to hear the words, you're too young to develop colorectal cancer. I think that's just really one of the big take-home messages. Number two, you know, if people are aware that this is going on, you know, again, a majority of patients that have abdominal pain don't have colorectal cancer, but just don't ignore it. And that's the biggest thing. Number three, we just want people to understand that, you know, if they have a long-term relationship with a primary care provider, it's always going to be helpful when something like this, you know, comes up and you can discuss these issues with your primary care provider. And number four, you know, research, right? We need to know why this is happening. Research is not only going to tell us why this is happening, but more importantly, maybe how we can prevent it, how we can treat it better, and just, you know, sincere thanks to all the groups that are funding colorectal cancer research. The American Cancer Society is just one of those. They even have a colorectal cancer roundtable that is helping leading these efforts. So there's a lot of work going on here, and, you know, programs like today's program really, really may help save lives.
Well, that's the whole point. We have to get the word out because all of us, like Kendra, have had experiences or know people that have had experiences with colorectal cancer. And the American Cancer Society helps a lot. Is there a way we can get info from them, Chris?
Yeah, so there's actually, if you go to cancer.org, O-R-G, that's one of the best sites, right? You can go to learn more about cancer, to learn more about the American Cancer Society, and even to get help and support and resources. There's also a helpline at 1-800-227-2345. That's 1-800-227-2345, and that's a helpline for the American Cancer Society.
Well, let's back up a little bit here, Chris. What are some of the screening recommendations for detecting colon cancer? What do people know? As Kendra said, everybody goes, oh boy, this is crazy. And I think I've had three or four over my years, and now I'm clean and free and living life. Not that I had a problem before, I got lucky. But what do people need to be aware of?
Yeah, I think the big thing for people to remember from this part of the show is, you know, colorectal cancer in patients with average risk, which means that you don't have a genetic predisposition, you don't have a strong family history of colorectal cancer, it starts at age 45. And, you know, part of this is, again, meeting with your primary care provider that can order this test. But then number two, like you said, I mean, colonoscopies are not fun to do, but they do save lives. And so, you know, the big thing to remember is that if you screen for cancers at the appropriate age, it's kind of annoying to undergo an X-ray or a test or a colonoscopy. But if it means that you can, you know, prevent cancer or detect cancer at an early stage, it can really mean the difference between life and death.
Well, I agree with that. And as Kendra, you might suggest a little bit more about the prep end. You said it could be crazy. I remember the early days, it could be crazy. But really, I had one. I think my last one was last year, 2 years ago, and it was better. The prep situation wasn't as bad.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think in my 10 years, there have been a lot of improvements, advancements in that type of prep. So I know there's, you know, off the top of my head, I can think of three or four different types. For me, I worked with my doctor because unfortunately a lot of them were making me sick, like throwing up. And so we worked out a plan for me and found, you know, we went through a series of different preps and found one that worked for me. So now I know that that's the one that's best for me. So, you know, part of that becomes advocating for yourself. It's very hard, especially in the midst of a diagnosis like that. You're very confused. Sure. I mean, it took months for me to even set in what had happened to me. And so that's why now I focus a lot of time on volunteering with groups like the American Cancer Society, because they really try to provide that support, especially in the initial stages and sort of in just helping you, like, pull everything together. And that was one of the first things they taught me is, like, you know, this works for you. And now you need to advocate for yourself, because you might end up at a, you know, random place that you're not familiar with, right. Which happened to me. I was on vacation and had to go to the ER.
Wow.
And, you know, and they wanted to give me something different. And it's not an argument or anything, but it's powerful for me to be able to say, hey, I've tried them all. This one works for me. Can I get that? And they did, you know.
Sure.
I think things like that are important to note as well.
Well, and Chris, it really starts with your personal physician, doesn't it?
It really does. And, you know, Kendra's story is so powerful. And just want to say, you know, thank you to her for sharing this story, because, again, that's literally what saves lives. And I think her story is honestly just so profound, right, because it happens at such a young age. But, you know, that is also a really great point that, you know, young people are healthy and don't feel like they ever have to go to the doctor because they are healthy. But this is why it's so important to have just this long longitudinal relationship that's longstanding with a primary care provider. Even if you see that primary care provider once every 1 to 2 years, that's okay.
Yeah.
Because when you need help or when we need to discuss screening or just to make sure that you're healthy and stay healthy, having that good relationship with a primary care doctor or nurse practitioner or physician's assistant can make all the difference in the world.
Well, thank you guys both for coming on Mile High Magazine. Chris, before I let you go again, give us the number for the American Cancer Society. They can reach out, their helpline.
You bet. The helpline is at 1-800-227-2345. That's 1-800-227-2345, or visit cancer.org.
Thank you both for coming on. Remember, March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, so if you've been putting it off, let's just get to it now, because March is, well, a couple of weeks away, so let's think more about this. And Kendra, thank you again for sharing your story on Mile High Magazine today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you, guys. Chris, thank you, and we appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, everybody. Yeah. Appreciate it.
And thank you guys for listening. It's Mile High Magazine. We're here every Sunday morning.